In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated. You know, last week I had so much fun talking about the Corinthians and 1 Corinthians. I thought we could do it for one more week, if you could bear with me there. Maybe my definition of fun and yours are different, that's okay. But I've got the microphone, so. But what Paul's doing in Corinth is he's trying to help the Corinthians see different ideas based on the cross, not based on how we understand. Last week he was trying to tell them, as we were working through the text, trying to tell them about unity being through sacrifice, service, and love, not through the right ruling the wrong, not everybody being under one rule, but people living in love, sacrifice, and service. So this week he's talking about power. And that goes with that idea of ruling, of governing. Remember the conflict in the churches, there's groups of people who want to be in charge. And they're divided, and they're fighting, and they're angry. And each one thinks they're right, and they want to tell the other what to do. Hard for us to relate, but we'll do the best we can. And what Paul is saying is, listen, first of all, power in God's economy doesn't look like power in different economies. So he's saying God is going to use what's weak. And he doesn't mean that word as an insult. I think we take it as an insult. If somebody calls us weak, we take it. It's insulting. But Paul's not saying that. He's going to say, the way power structures work in the world and the way God uses power are going to be two different things. So the easiest way I can say this is, Paul would say, don't have high expectations of God working through Washington, D.C. It happens. It's possible. I'm not knocking any politician or their faith. But what Paul would say is that's kind of our power structure. That's a worldly power structure where we play the game, we make deals, we compromise, we bribe, we do the things we got to do to get ahead. What Paul would say is the way God uses power is he finds those things that the world might deem weak or unimportant, and he raises them up to be strong. And he does that so his glory is on display, so you see his glory. So this is what Paul's saying to the Corinthians. He's saying, guys, you should not be boasting or fighting over who's in charge of one another. None of you are that great. He's saying that in a nice way, but that's what he's saying. I mean, we're all broken. We're all flawed. Don't you get it? We all need forgiveness. We all need the cross. There's nobody who stands in a place of superiority at the foot of the cross. We're all in need of the cross. And Paul uses that idea of the cross again to help understand power. And when he talks about the cross, we're not just talking about the symbol, you know, the design. He's talking about the event. This is how we understand the world, because the Son of God died on a cross. So he would say this. He would say, you need to understand about power is that God uses weakness to display his power. This is what the cross teaches us. The most powerful, godly, sinless person that ever lived suffered and died for the sake of others. He became weak and vulnerable to help others out of love. That's what God's power looks like. It doesn't look like a dominating power. It's a power that raises up. It's a power that lifts up. It's a power that bears burdens with one another. And Paul's telling the community, don't you see why fighting over who's in charge is stupid? Because we're supposed to be bearing one another's burdens. If we're looking at someone and saying, they're not as good of a Christian as me, and we think that gives us a right to rule instead of a right to walk beside and lift up and bear their burdens and encourage, then we're missing the cross. We're not getting it. So Paul's telling the Corinthians that it's through our shared weakness that we understand, we lift each other's up. We see the cross, and God's love and power is displayed in ways that sacrifice in weakness for the sake of others. So that's one thing about power. So power in God's economy doesn't work to rule, to subjugate, to dominate. It works to lift up, to encourage, to sacrifice. And Paul's telling his community that, don't you see how stupid it is then, if we're having these arguments, if that's what God's power looks like, if that's how God's power is manifest? So in another sense, he's talking about how God's power is displayed in their community. So he's calling their community to understand, their church, we would say, to understand God's power is manifest in weakness. It's a power that raises up, encourages, loves, bears burdens. And the other thing he's saying is God's power is at use in people that don't seem to have a lot of clout in other power circles. So he would say, again, don't look for the major changes to come out of places where power in a world sense is concentrated. He would say, look for the major changes to come where God is working with his power. And history bears that out so well, right? It wasn't the Roman emperors that decided to change the way the empire functioned. It wasn't the Roman emperors that said, you know, we really need to have a better respect for human dignity and not have gladiatorial games for fun. It was these weak Christians that just kept multiplying. And you know how they multiplied? They multiplied through death and through persecution. I mean, that's the amazing part. They had a saying in the Roman Empire, feed one Christian to the lions, 10 more will be baptized. The Christian movement in the early church was nothing more than people willing to suffer and be weak for the gospel, and it changing the whole empire, changing the strongest empire the world had ever seen. It's an incredible story, and it's the prototype for God's power. It doesn't come through the high places. It comes through a type of love and service that's willing to sacrifice in lowly ways. So I would give you, if you're discouraged, if you're frustrated, if you're upset with how things are, country-wise, world-wise, I would take heart with that. Take heart in that truth. God's power isn't bound to work through Congress. It's not bound to work through these areas. God's power can work in areas that we don't even imagine. The second thing, as we look at this idea of the cross, is how it affects us on a personal level. And this is something Paul knew really, really well. Because there's a story with Paul, he writes later to the Corinthians, the same Corinthians he's writing to now, about something he struggled with, and we don't know what it was. Some people think it was just a chronic health issue, malaria, or something that just kept reoccurring. I mean, who knows? We know many of those types of health situations that just seem to keep reoccurring. And Paul talked about how he was praying fervently to God to just heal him, like God had healed so many other people in his ministry. And he said God told him no. My grace is enough for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul said, this is what I learned. When I am weak, then that's when I am strong. So Paul struggled with this on a personal level too. He's not just preaching it without living it. And the challenge of that for us is understanding what God's doing in our weak times. So let me say two things. First of all, what I'm not saying is that every time we go through a period of weakness, of suffering, of sickness, or whatever, that it's God doing something. There's no formula for suffering. There's no way that I can magically explain it every time. It just doesn't work that way. And the other thing is, it doesn't mean that God doesn't have the power to heal and restore. Jesus certainly made that a huge part of his ministry. So did the apostles. That's still in the church. Prayers heal. So what I'm not saying is every time someone's sick for any reason, God has, you know, there's some divine purpose. And I'm also not saying that God can't heal, that we're all just bound to suffer and grow in that. But what I'm saying is that the cross teaches us that suffering is redeemable and that growth occurs through those times. So there are examples. Paul had his examples of times maybe in our own life when we thought we were weak and broken down and it helped us grow in many other ways. I think of my own mother. I've told this story before. My own mother, who's a cancer survivor, had a very severe form of breast cancer, and It changed her. It changed her. It helped her live with purpose and meaning and appreciation for every day that she has. She has an appreciation and thankfulness and a gratitude for God's simplest gifts that amazes me sometimes. And that experience changed her. Now, I'm not saying God gave her that cancer, but I'm saying that through the sickness, God's power worked to change her. So I'm thinking all of us have had experiences like that. And the initial reaction that we might have is when we're going through something like that to say, God, why did you abandon me? How could you let this happen? Or God, I've done everything right. Why is this going wrong? And the reality is the cross shows us that no, that's not what's happening. That's not what's happening. There's a lot of people that make a lot of money preaching to you that if you believe enough, if you give enough, if you do whatever enough, God will heal everything, bless everything, give you your heart's desire. They will give you that formula. They are on TV. They get paid well. I'm telling you, the cross says that's not the case. Certainly there's truth in what they preach, but what the cross says is God loves you whether you're in strong times or weak times. God is walking with you whether you are in sickness and in health. God is with you, working his good, working his purpose in you, whether we understand it or we don't. And if we can take heart in this gospel reading we have today, the Beatitudes, it's that there's ultimately an end place where things are made right. And that's what Jesus preaches. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That there is a time when that's going to be realized. But the journey, God is always working for our growth and transformation. And sometimes he uses the sufferings and weaknesses that we experience to bring about that end. So as Paul talks to the Corinthians about the cross, he wants them to understand power looks different when God uses it than in secular sense. And he wants us to understand that times of weakness are not necessarily times of abandonment, but they're times of God working and transforming and using us to be more like Christ. So whether you're frustrated with the way things are, big picture, or whether you're frustrated with the way things are in your own life, whether you're in a season of weakness where you feel like, what's going on? Why me? Why am I suffering? I would encourage you with Paul to remember the cross. That it's not a sign that God loves you less. It is not a sign of God's abandonment. It's a season that we walk through, and that God uses those seasons to redeem and transform in powerful ways. And that would be my prayer for us, for our nation, and for all those experiencing these times, that God would use them to transform so that we would be more like him. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.